Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you're listening today. Hope you have having a great day so far. Well, I've got a question for you. Maybe this applies to you. Are you weary in the waiting, wondering when your breakthrough will come? We're going to talk about what it means to embrace that moral fortitude to stay the course, to keep the faith, to hang on so that we may reap a harvest when that breakthrough finally comes. You know, my hubby has this funny habit that he does every time a presidential race rolls around or the new singing competition TV show rolls around or the Olympics rolls around. Every single time he smacks his head and goes, "Oh, I forgot to sign up," as if, you know, signing up and buying the jersey is all you need to participate in a race at that level. Well, my guest today says that we actually develop perseverance in the everydayness of life, and putting one foot in front of the other and trusting that God will do what he says that he will do. Paul Herkman joins me today in studio. We're going to talk about the power of perseverance and about his ministry, Venture Expeditions. I have so many friends who love Paul, so many friends who've told me, "You got to meet Paul." And we finally connected. I think it was at a grad open house. So glad to finally meet him. Let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Paul Herkman is the executive director of Venture Expeditions, an organization committed to using its greatest energies to meet the world's greatest needs. He has experience as a professor, a pastor, and nonprofit leader. Paul combines these experiences to inspire others to engage missionally, embrace how they are made, and to take the next step of faith that God is calling them to take on behalf of others. Dear Paul, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Really good to be with you. And you know, we've talked back and forth, and I think we both run a pretty fast race, so to speak. And my son attends Substance Church, and he had to work one Sunday and came home and said, "Mom, let's watch the sermon online together." And we did, and there you were. And I just knew, it's like, okay, Lord, it's time to call Paul. It was so good. And so we're going to be talking today about that sermon and about Venture. But we love to start out talking scripture. Every conversation, you chose Isaiah 58:10-11. If you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise out in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. I'd love for you to talk about that passage and what it means to you.
Yeah. You know, one of my pastors that I had previously said that the best verse you'll ever hear is the verse that you needed right when it was said to you.
Amen.
And this verse is something that I would call maybe not just my life verse, but a verse for this season of my life, for really probably the last 8 years. And ironically, the verse most poignantly came to mind on the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro. I was leading a tour with Venture Expeditions. We were climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and as a result, we were raising money and awareness for education and discipleship for underprivileged young boys and girls in the slums of Nairobi, Kenya. And as I was summiting the mountain, the first four of the 5 days was fairly easy, but that last day was pretty difficult. And there's something called mountain altitude sickness, and that's where as you rise in elevation, less blood gets to your brain, less oxygen gets to your blood, and it causes a whole bunch of sick things. And it was in the middle of that sickness as we were summiting. I just didn't have clarity of thought. I got to the summit, and as we were descending, I can just picture Isaiah coming to my mind, and it says, "If you give yourselves on behalf of the poor and the oppressed." And at this point, I had given everything I knew physically. I was exhausted. We had exhausted some of our finances to make the trip possible. We had exhausted our community connections because we asked them to support what we were doing so we could support these kids. And it was at that point that I just said, "Man, I feel so connected with a marginalized group of people." And it was like God's spirit just started talking to me and saying, "This is part of the gospel." And part of the gospel really became alive, this idea that when we give ourselves on behalf of other people on a regular basis, not just as a as a response to a sermon or an altar call, but on a regular basis, when we're giving that up, then it says that his light will shine down and there will be clarity and he's going to show us where to go. And I used to think that meant it would show me vocation, it would show me a job, it would show me the right place to live. But what I saw was the kingdom unfolding and this beautiful story of how Christ comes alongside of the poor, the oppressed, and the outcast, and the unreached, and draws them unto himself, and then invites us to be a part of that story. It felt beautiful, and I looked at my wife, and I said, this is where we need to be heading as a family. Our kids need to understand the kingdom through the eyes of the poor and the oppressed, and not just through a large building on the side of the highway.
I have 1,000 questions. Such a great story. Thank you for sharing that. Let's start here. Tell us what Venture does. Then I want to know how you came to Venture. And then we're going to unpack that sermon and just talk to the everyday person who is called to be, I believe, a flow-through account of God's blessings to the oppressed, the marginalized, and the voiceless. So start here. What is Venture for those who don't know?
Absolutely. So Venture uses hiking, biking, and running trips to engage people in missions and justice work all around the world. So we do everything from 10-day bike trips to biking across the country. We do running trips from individuals running across the state to relaying. And we do hiking trips, like I just said, Kilimanjaro, Machu Picchu, or Colorado. We engage everyday ordinary people from 16 up into their 60s and 70s. And we simply give them an adventurous opportunity. And we use that as a platform to engage people in justice issues like human trafficking, refugee care, extreme poverty. And then with that, we do an intentional life and faith development, connecting the life and teachings of Christ around the poor and the oppressed, and helping people understand that this is everybody's call on a regular basis.
Indeed and amen. And we've had friends from IJM on the show a handful of times. And I remember a number of years ago seeing an IJM bike team doing a trip to raise money for justice in that way. So my brain is getting ahead of me. How did you come to Venture? Let's start
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. So I was actually teaching at a local university here when three students responded in a chapel setting to a missionary who said there's a great need in South America. They decided they were going to respond to that need in South America by biking across the United States. They had no idea of what they were doing. They didn't have money. They didn't have bikes. Cycling wasn't as popular then as it is today. They came to me at that point and asked if I would join them, and I said, no way. Because
in the name
it sounded
of Jesus.
Super fun, but they didn't have a really good plan.
Sure.
Well, the joke was on me. They finished. They raised over $18,000 that first trip, and that's how Venture began. The next year, they went across Europe, and then every year it's grown since then. We partner with organizations that are sharing the hope of Christ and addressing injustices around
the
world.
So were you part of that ground zero as far as establishing Venture?
You know, I'd love to say I was. That was one of the greatest lessons I learned. When I said no, I still supported them by cheering and financially, but it took me 5 years to join the team. I, for a while, felt like God was saying, I told you so, I gave you this chance, and you said no. But I don't really think God talks to us that way. I don't think he ever says, I told you so. I think he whispers, I'm going to keep inviting you. And he kept inviting me. And when, at that point, I got another opportunity to lead this trip to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, my wife joined us, and that changed everything for our family.
Wow, absolutely amazing. So as we talked about, we're going to be unpacking this message and really tying it into the mission of Venture, the mission for our lives as well. But you gave a message at Substance Church here in the Twin Cities recently, based on Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, so often, Paul, we are striving and straining apart from the strength God provides, you know, which leads to weariness. And that's so different than the mindset of coming from a different place, of working with diligence and trusting the outcome to God. You know, it's the abiding, fruitful life versus the straining, striving life. Make a distinction between those two, especially when you're in that place of weariness, because there's grace to continue in weariness when I think it's coming from an abiding place, but it's not sustainable when it's coming from a striving place, you know what I mean, when it's apart from faith.
Yeah, I think part of it is recognizing what season you're in and having a group of people around you when you can't recognize what season it is. Because sometimes we need friends to say you need to slow down and take a deep breath. And other times we need our support to say you got to keep going. And what I find so living about Galatians 6:9 is if we look at what Paul's usually telling us, keep going, you know, he's kind of that rough coach a little bit sometimes saying, keep going. But in this, there is this truth and this beautiful whisper that says, you can keep doing this. Don't grow weary in doing good, because we're going to get to that place. We're going to get to that thing. We're going to see his kingdom come more clearly. And I know for me, I can't assess that season on my own. I need scripture, and I need my community. I need corporate worship, and I need that small group of friends. You mentioned we speak at Substance. Substance talks about 4 to 7 people. Having those 4 to 7 people that will help assess what season you're in and encourage you, either like a coach, keep going, or like moms so often do so well, you can do this.
Mm-hmm. Or as you, like you said, sometimes you need to step back and rest. And you know, I remember a particular season of my life as a young mom, 3 little boys and active Lyme disease. I was so desperately sick, and we were going broke as a result. And remember in that place that God not only charged me to persevere, but he also raised the bar even more. But in that invitation, not obligation way, but to say, I want you to know that in every season, there will always be someone in your life who has less than you do. And I want you to be aware of them and bless them and be willing to give. And I thought, I have a box and a half of cereal in my cupboard. How do I do that? But I just sensed the nudging. And he just said, wherever you go, in whatever season you're in, I want you to be a flow through account of blessing. And I want you to speak to that, if you would, too, because so often we can get so self-consumed with our own needs, and our needs matter to God. We're not here just for others. He loves us, right? But I feel like we don't ever really fully see who we are until we tend to the needs of others in the midst of our own needs. You know what I'm saying? Because it links us together.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the example that you used about that box of food, because my wife does something beautiful. She keeps food in our car so that as we're driving down the highway, if we see somebody with a cardboard sign asking for something, we have the opportunity to not only give but to include our kids in that journey. Now, one of the ways that I think we're most ready for that is if we can be thankful for how God's blessed us. And so when we can approach with a season of gratefulness, when we can wake up and say, no matter what is happening in my life, most of us listening woke up in a comfortable bed. And most of us went to a cupboard that has some version of variety. And they went to a closet that has some version of variety. And even most of us went to a garage that has some variety. We could pick between 1, 2 or more cars. And that doesn't mean that life is easy. In fact, the kind of perseverance that Paul's talking about is not don't be tired. It says don't grow weary. Tired happens every single day. That's why God created night and sleep. It happens every week. That's why he created Sabbath. It happens for the ground, and that's why every 7 years we're supposed to let it go fallow. Even the year of Jubilee, there is seasons and systems that God has set up for healthy rhythms of life. The kind of tiredness is when we don't recognize that our gratefulness, when we cease to be thankful, and that causes us to lack the moral fortitude and the moral courage to continue to know that he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it.
Wow, so good. And from there, that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, is moral fortitude. And if what's the difference between tired and weary? Maybe you're weary. Maybe you need us to stand with you today. We'd sure love to pray with you. 877-933-2484. If you need to call anonymously, you sure can do that. We've got some Faith Radio resources, great books on the shelf we can get into your hands today. 877-93-FAITH or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Paul Herkman with Venture Expeditions, we're unpacking that whole idea of not growing weary in doing good. In due time, you will reap a harvest. That's what the Bible says. More with Paul when we return. She says in that song, Meredith Andrews, my precious friend, she says, every mountain makes me a climber. Every giant calls out a fighter. Isn't that good? Sometimes our opposition, our challenges really, well, often, all times, every time, I think, if we walk in Christ, we trust him. Those opposition, those battles, they train us to be more like Christ, and they prepare us for the things God has for us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Paul Herkman today from Venture Expeditions. And we're talking to him for two reasons. We want to hear about Venture because maybe you've always wanted to use your gifts to raise money for the oppressed. Maybe you're a runner or a biker, cyclist, or a climber. You climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, mm-hmm. like more than once.
Just once.
Even that's kind of amazing. We'll link up his ministry on our show page today. But Paul recently gave an amazing sermon at Substance Church here in the Twin Cities based on the passage, Galatians 6, verses 9 through 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So you started to unpack and kind of make the distinction between tired and weary. Pick it up from there, Paul, and explain that again, especially for those who just tuned in, so we know how to care for our soul so that we can persevere.
Yeah, in Galatians, when he says, don't grow weary in doing good, a lot of times we hear that I have to have supernatural energy, that I can't ever be tired. But he's not talking about physical tiredness. In fact, throughout Scripture, if we look at it as a whole, the meta-narrative talks often about rhythms of life, be it at night we go to bed, at the end of a week we have Sabbath, at the end of 6 and 7 years agriculturally, it's best to let the ground go fallow. And even the year of Jubilee, there's tons of examples throughout Scripture of how we should be living in a certain rhythm where it's okay to be tired. It's okay. I recently ran a marathon, and it's okay to be tired after a marathon.
Yeah.
It's okay after a great day of work to be tired. What Paul's talking about is lacking the moral fortitude to and the moral courage to continue. It's listening to voices in your head that don't belong there that says you're not good enough, you can't do this. It's just going to be the same old, and there might be somebody that's hearing and believing a voice that says this year's going to be just like last year. Mm. You're the same kind of person. You're not going to change. You're not going to do it different. And Paul is saying to the Galatians, and he's saying to us right now, man, don't grow weary in doing good. And I would say, if I can add, he's saying, don't believe the lie. You can continue. And he's talking to groups of people. He's saying, communities, come together and don't believe that you're not significant, because you have value and you have dignity. And because of that, through Christ, you will reap a harvest if you just don't give up.
So good. And you have something to offer, something to contribute to the needs around you. Interesting how that passage ties together. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In your sermon, you told a story of training for a marathon, and the training went well, I believe, if
yeah.
I remember right. I'm not laughing at you. But that story was pretty interesting. So would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So just like you said, the training went well. In fact, it went so well that I went 285 straight days without missing a day of running. I had no physical pain. The longest training was 22 miles, and I did all of them. And I was ready the day of the Twin Cities Marathon to complete my first marathon that was timed, right? So I start running, and I'm feeling great. First mile, fifth mile, eighth mile, I'm doing great. It's about the eighth or ninth mile that I feel a twinge in my knee. So my beautiful wife goes and gets me a knee brace, and I put it on. By the time she's back with the knee brace, my other knee starts hurting. And I'm frustrated because, mind you, I've gone almost three quarters of a year with zero pain, and this is my big day. Anyway, fast forwarded, I got to the 13th mile. I literally couldn't run anymore. I'd never felt so much pain in my life, and I knew that there was damage on the other side if I kept running. So what do you do when you're 13 miles in and you have 13 miles to go? First of all, you question why you ever signed up for a marathon to begin with.
Yeah.
But what do? Well, I skipped. I literally skipped like a 7-year-old young boy would do. I skipped. And I started skipping. My knee felt good when I skipped. And for whatever reason, I finished the race by skipping 13 miles.
Unbelievable. First of all, how did you know to skip? Is this what runners just know this?
No. I've actually never talked to anybody else that did that. I ran a longer race with a local church here a few years ago and felt the same knee pain. And somebody was kidding, saying, well, maybe skipping works. And I skipped, and it worked.
Hmm.
And it just came to mind. So I am not a physical therapist. I am not a doctor or a running coach. Please don't push your body to those types of things. But it worked for me. And there was something, I finished and I crossed the finish line, and it didn't look anything like I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people were laughing at me to see a 6'4" guy with a man bun skipping. But I finished, and there was something that just kind of triggered. I'm like, when you can't run, you jog, and when you can't jog, you skip. You just do whatever you can do to continue moving forward. And there's always another option. There's always another solution. And where Christ has called you, he will always give you the tools to complete it. It may not look exactly the way you thought. In fact, it rarely does. Mm-hmm. You know, my picture was best time, lots of people celebrating me, find out like I'm a broke some land record. Wasn't any of those things. I skipped 13 miles, but I finished.
That's such a great story, because how often, Paul, does life not turn out like we thought or hoped it would? And that's where the voices come. That's where the enemy whispers and hisses in your ear. See, that this year was nothing like you thought it was. So why would you hope for something better? This world's going to hell in a handbasket. But the truth is, you know, even though when the enemy makes a move, we forget that God always has a plan, you know. I want you to speak to that person. We've got about 2 minutes here before we take our next break. But who is so listening to the hiss in their ear that they're forgetting that there are other ways. I mean, you finished the race. I mean, when a lot of other people would have quit, you finished. It's absolutely amazing. What advice do you have for that person who's like, if I can't run and get my best time, I don't want to do anything?
Right. Well, I would say let's look back to what Paul was saying in Galatians when he's talking about don't grow weary in doing good. We have to define what doing good is. And a lot of times we think of doing good as being super successful, being a really great Christian, being this role model that nobody can live up to, writing a book, a blog, being a movie star, whatever type of accolades. But Paul is going back. He says throughout Galatians in 5 and 6, he's saying, here's what the life in the Spirit looks like. It's love and joy and peace and patience. And no matter where you're at, if you go home and you're simply patient with your child, you haven't given up on doing good. If you go home and you can smile and wave to your neighbor when you go in, you haven't given up on doing good. If you go home and say no to the thing that you thought just has a grip on you, you haven't given up on doing good. And if you're listening right now and you simply feel a twinge of hope, that's God's Spirit, and you haven't given up on doing good. And that is as powerful as climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, as starting a nonprofit startup, as being an incredibly renowned author and DJ. It's just as powerful, because Paul says it's later that we figure out what the reward is and what the harvest is. But for right now, just don't grow weary. Keep going.
That is a word for somebody. And last time we had Pastor Peter Haas on the station, on the show, he said, you know, we don't even know what makes us happy half the time. So if we spend so much energy and angst in that elusive dream, when we get it, sometimes it's not anything like we thought anyway. So much isn't like what we thought. So I love the encouragement. Smile at your spouse. Be kind to your neighbor. And it's evidence that you haven't given up. If you've got questions, we welcome them. And like I said, we'd love to pray with you. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More great conversation with Paul Herkman up ahead. I can talk. This is live radio. I love it. So keep moving. Sometimes you just need to hear that. Soldier on, good soldier, lift your head. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Paul Herkman of Venture Expeditions, and he's also just an amazing speaker, and I got to hear a sermon on that passage that talks about, it's from Galatians 6, about not becoming weary in doing good. And Paul, you were saying towards the beginning of the show today that, you know, weary and tired, two different things. Tired, we just listen to our bodies and we get the needed rest. But that weariness is that inner voice, listening to those inner voices to say it's not worth it. And one of the things you'd said is that if we stop sowing in the Spirit, we'll start to sow to our own flesh. Talk about that, because we run the risk of that in that weariness when we're listening to the voices and not to the Spirit of God.
Yeah, I think I can speak for myself that I often think that there are three options: to sow to the Spirit, to sow to the flesh, or to just kind of remain neutral and kind of in a wait-and-see posture. And Paul, if we're looking at what he says in Galatians, he's basically saying we have this, our life is this one plot of land, and he uses a lot of agricultural imagery. And in this plot of land, you are either sowing to the flesh or you're sowing to the Spirit. And when we stop sowing to the Spirit, things start going wrong. And so when there is this admonition to not grow weary in doing good, this is not just so that we go help a lot of people. It's not just so that we are helping organizations and churches that do compassion ministry, but it's literally because if we quit doing good, we start slipping back in a place where we lose hope and we lose perspective, and we start listening to these voices that say, you can't keep going. You're not worth it. It's always going to be the same roller coaster. And Paul's saying it's not going to be the same roller coaster. In fact, he says there's this healthy rhythm that when we do good, when we are loving and joyful and full of peace, when we are engaging in even the smallest of these things, what we do is we actually counteract the parts of our lives that tend to pull us down. We're not just not doing them, but it counteracts it, and it creates space. So this plot of land that's called our life, it grows fruit.
Mm-hmm. And we see that fruit in this life and the life to come. I think that's so important. As you said, part of this harvest we're not going to see, but there is some fruit that we see. We see it in our character. We kind of, you know, I would say get a stronger spiritual muscle. And I think if we get in the habit of quitting, we weaken our resolve and weaken our faith. And I would love for you to speak to that. There's always grace. We're saved by grace, and His mercies are new every morning. But if we set out for things and repeatedly quit, and relationships get hard, I'm going to go find a new friend, I'm going to go find a new spouse, a new job, a new church, and we have a consumer mentality, I don't know that we can ever train ourselves to not grow weary. What do you say?
You know, I love the first sentence that you said. We talk about harvest, and a lot of times if you have grown up or if you've engaged in the church world for very long, harvest is almost always heaven or salvation or how many people attend our church, which I want to be very clear. Those are all incredible rubrics and incredibly important. But if we look at what Paul's saying, he says the fruit of the Spirit, and then he parallels that with harvest. So what else would harvest be? It would be those fruits, seeing them in our lives, in our families, in our workplace, in our churches. And sometimes we celebrate, you know, that the plot of land that we have, we think it'd be incredible to have 1,000 apple trees on it. But if those apple trees aren't producing apples, it doesn't matter how many trees you have. Take some time and to think about how can I produce the best apples. And John, if we go back in John, says we actually don't produce those. It's simply staying with the vine, and the Spirit produces the fruit. So we've got to spend that time in the vine. But I think we should celebrate in our families and in our friendships and in our churches. Hey, you've really grown in your love this year. You've grown in your patience. It doesn't just have to be how many people you invited to church or how much money you gave.
So true.
But man, I really see you working in this area, or more clearly, I see God's Spirit growing in this area in you, and I applaud you for not giving up and continuing to work on your patience.
And you think about the fruitful life. I mean, the fruitful life when we abide in the vine, we bear much fruit, as Jesus talked about in John 15. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. People are nourished when we bear fruit. And sometimes I think we mistake success for fruitfulness. Sometimes if you're fruitful, you'll also be successful. But if our goal and our pursuit is success, sometimes we can justify stepping on people, getting our deal done because our call is, after all, so important. And people aren't really nourished by our lives. They're really sort of pushed aside by our lives. But Jesus, when he's looking on the earth, he's looking for fruit and he's looking for faith. In a culture that's so success and results driven, Paul, maybe speak to the person who's wired to achieve a lot, but needs this reminder that it's the abiding life that bears the fruit.
Yeah, well, first I would say if you're somebody who is driven, Christ has probably put that in you and designed you to be driven and designed. It's what you do with that for the kingdom. So I just want to affirm that.
Excellent.
But all of us, in the way that we're designed, we cannot function fully just on our own. And so we need people around us to help us see our strengths and our weaknesses, to be mirrors that put up. And the two mirrors we need is our community to honestly tell us where we're at, and then scripture like this that says, hey, Paul in through the book of Acts in Acts 20 says, here's what he says finishing the race is. His only aim is to finish the race and complete the task. And he says, this is the task, to testify to the good news of God's grace. A lot of times we say ending the race is a number. It's a size. It's a size of 401k. It's a size of church building. It's a size of followership on social media. Paul says it's for us to testify. And how do we testify? That's in word, but it's also in that fruit. If I'm loving to my wife, that's a testimony to my kids. If I am patient with my coworkers, it's a testimony to those in the cubicle across from me. If I have self-control in my dating relationship, it's a testimony to those around me. Those things all point to the kingdom in this design that says there is a better way to live, not one that you're naturally inclined to, but if you put up the mirror of God's word and the mirror of your community that agrees on God's word, you are going to yield fruit.
You belong in Venture because you are this affirming coach that invites people up. But the grace just oozes out of you, Paul, and I appreciate that so much. Remember when my middle son was walking through a particularly hard season of life, newly married, in a job that he hated, had a boss that just had it out for him, it seemed. And he was feeling so defeated. He saw different friends prospering in their way, and he was so beat up. And his older brother, our oldest son, said, you know, you're a walking miracle. He said, I know that you feel so unsuccessful, so rejected, looked over for the promotion, so to speak. But he said, I watch you. He says, you love your wife, and you smile, and you honor mom and dad, and you haven't defied God, and you've not cursed him in any way. And he said, you're a walking miracle. This is where people can celebrate success all day long, but this is where it counts. And these are seeds. And I just love, first of all, that Jake would encourage Luke that way. But these really are seeds, aren't they? When you're deciding, like you said, to smile at your spouse, to whisper a prayer when it would be easier to curse. Talk about those small beginnings, the small steps and the small seeds to someone who feels like I'm in a dry and weary land. I don't even know what faithfulness looks like here.
Yeah. You know, I think the first thing that I would say, and I'm just going to say a 10-second prayer and then answer, is I pray that God would put somebody in your life that would speak truth, because sometimes we're stuck in a place where our tires are spinning. We've got power in the tire, but we need someone to push the bumper to get us just a little bit of traction. And so the fact that you're listening and you're hoping and you're trying to grab some truth through God's Spirit, through this radio station, means that God is working it already in you and in your spirit. And so I would say my prayer is that someone would come alongside of you and assist you with that. And then the second thing that I would encourage is maybe similar to how I like to parent when I do it well. People give mostly stories of things that they do well. But I like to, when my child is not handling something really well, is to say, it's okay for you to feel this way. But here's what I know you to be. I know you to be strong, and I know you to be really kind to your brother. And I would love to see that right now, because awesome. I've seen it before and I can see it again. And we can't, in the midst of pain, tell someone to change their behavior, but we can speak into them what we hope them to be, and we can speak what we've seen them be, and we can always speak the truth of Scripture over people. And then at the end, we can say, but I won't leave you. I'm going to stand next to you regardless of how you navigate this. I am here with you, because that is the exact example that Christ gave. He chose to relinquish a great place to be and come down into humanity and sit next to us. And so we talked about Isaiah 58:10-11. I think that's why I love that so much, because Christ invites us to come alongside of painful situations and sit next to there, because it's something about recognizing mutual poverty of spirit that we say, I need Christ. It's not about somebody rich in resources helping somebody poor in resources.
Wow, very good.
It's about somebody who thinks they're in a good spot sitting next to somebody who they think is in a bad spot and going, oh, we're both have poverty of spirit, and let's look to Christ together. And so for that person riding, I literally mean that Susie and I are in the car next to you in word and in spirit, and we're saying, we'll sit next to you, and you are good, and you can do this. And the next person you see right next to you as you pull up to the green light or red light, just smile at them and be Christ's joy, and it's going to be all right.
Amen. Amen. For Francis French of Payne once wrote about this fork in the road, you know, that the enemy is the accuser of the brother, and Jesus is interceding for us day and night. And we're the one who kind of decides which way to go when we encounter the needs and the flaws in others. Do we want to get in line behind the enemy and be the accuser? And you see it all the time on social media with Christians. But imagine what Paul did for his child, if we did that for each other, to say, you know, this is who I hope for you. This is what I know you can be. This is what I've seen in you before. To me, that takes a purity of heart, and it takes just a courage of the soul. But what if we started to do that for each other, where we started to call life out and speak life in? I mean, what a difference it would make. I got to ask, you know, with this venture expeditions, do you mostly draw athletes? I mean, I'm sure you do with cyclists and runners and climbers, but are you ever surprised by those who aren't that, but they have a conviction to help the oppressed, so they're going to go on a ride or a run or a climb?
Absolutely. In fact, well over 70% of our people don't even like own a bike when they sign up haven't run. They're moved by either the injustice or by God's Spirit inviting them to be a part of it. And a lot of people want to do something where there's physical sacrifice, they're actively engaged, they don't just want a financial transaction, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but there's something about in what we talk about intentionally interrupting your life. And the other piece, because most people aren't runners or cyclists, there's something great about going, I want to be that person. I ran across the state of Minnesota with a team of 5 college students, and we averaged between 17 and 26 miles a day running. And
wow.
4 of the 5 of those college students had never run a 5K before they started training. And so there's this idea of intentionally interrupting, and I'll pause right here. I don't like running. I gave a story about a marathon. I just talked about running across state. I still don't like running. But this morning, or actually this afternoon, I got up and I ran. It was really cold out. There is something about saying, I can choose to do even what my body doesn't want to do. And there's something about saying, I'm becoming that person. I don't love running, but I'm becoming somebody who runs regularly because I, like Paul, want to beat my body into submission in a healthy spiritual way. And this is a physical reminder of, I don't always want to be joyful at home. I don't always want to be patient with my children. I don't always want to be loving to my wife. I mostly want to be loving to her. But what about those other times? There's something about training yourself to be who you are called to be, even when you don't feel like being it.
Amen. And I will just tell you, coming off the Lyme disease, I used to run all the time, and it wrecked my joints, the Lyme disease. So I took up cycling. And I got to tell you, there's something about when I would set out for a ride, and I'd say, I'm going to do 20 or 25 today or 15 or whatever, and I'm going to make myself deal with it. And rarely, unless I'm sick or injured, would I renege on that, because I knew it was good for my resolve. I think there's something about even fasting from excess once in a while, not out of legalism, but to say, I'm going to say no to my flesh. I'm going to make myself deal with it. But when you buffet your body, make it your slave, and then you persevere and you get on the other side, you realize there's so much more that you can do with Christ in you than you even realize. But I think practicing in the physical realm is such a good place to start. Talking to Paul Ferkman, when we come back, we're talking more about venture expeditions, maybe potential trips and activities coming up, but also what it means to finish strong. You hear that every day at the end of the show. We'd love to encourage you. You're a little quiet today, I noticed. I saw a few calls come in. Maybe you're a bit shy about being on the air, but I would love to pray with you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I really feel like if you just tuned in, you got to go back, listen to today's whole conversation with Paul Ferkman, because so many of you, I know, because I hear from you, you're weary in the waiting, weary waiting for the breakthrough, weary in the running. And God has a fresh wind to put in your sails, a fresh truth to just aliven in your heart. And we are here to encourage you today. I see some calls coming in. We literally have about 8-9 minutes left. But if you're weary, I think you've already heard Paul's precious heart. I think he would have a great prayer for you just to encourage you today. 877-933-2484. And with the rest of this time, I want to talk about just, you know, the whole idea that sometimes on earth, the story doesn't I think always the story doesn't turn out exactly like we think it should, but God is still a keeper of his promises. And Paul was saying, he's now compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What a hero of the faith Paul was. But it's a reminder, because we've had wealth and freedom in this nation, we've kind of been able to paint a picture of what we want life to be. But I think if we really just rely scripture, not on culture, but on scripture, life's going to be hard at times. But the story is not over. That life on earth does not have the last say. Let me put it that way. And you've got a great story of a friend whose story maybe ended different than she thought, but she ran the race and she won it. And God's still talking about her. So tell us your friend's story.
Yeah. So my friend's name is Lizzie, and she's an incredible person. I met her when she was in high school, and she was a basketball player, and she was fiercely competitive. But she had that smile. She loved everybody off the court. She was so kind. If you were going to watch a movie with Lizzie, she was first going to go to the grocery store, and she was going to get the best kind of snacks. And it didn't really matter about the movie. It was the experience with everybody. And she loved Jesus, and she was super involved with her youth group at Emmanuel, actually. And she was involved with her friends at Spring Lake Park. And this was a girl that was full of life and loved Jesus. And every single day I saw her, she wasn't perfect, but she just emulated this idea of not growing weary ever. And watched her as she went to college, and she did incredible there. And I watched her in her first job at a church, and she was so committed to this youth group and to these students, and set such a great example. Again, not perfect, but just didn't give up. One of the crazy things was, at one point they had to let her go because of just church finances. The next week, she's back at the youth group, just like, it doesn't matter about the paycheck. She just kept, no matter what bad decisions or bad things happened, she just kept going one foot in front of the other. She got married, and her marriage was incredible. And then she found out she was pregnant. And for my wife and I, we were so excited for this couple, because they're just a great couple, and they're going to bring a child into the world. And it was through that pregnancy that they found out that Lizzie had cancer. And the doctor immediately encouraged her to terminate the pregnancy. And if you know Lizzie like I did, she was just like, not a chance you're taking my baby. And so she went, and she had baby Sophie. And I just Skyped with Sophie just a few weeks ago. So beautiful. And after Sophie was born, she had to resume her battle with cancer. She had to pick the fight back up. By this time, she's stage four. And she didn't miss an opportunity to share Christ's hope. Every hospital she was in, and it was multiple states, she was the brightest star. Everybody loved her. And she just had this beauty and this fight and this resilience about her. It was the end of October that Lizzie finished her fight. And now she's with Jesus. And I know that's difficult for so many people, and people have experienced loss. But the crazy part is, because of how Lizzie chose to live, from high school to college to afterwards, when Lizzie had her funeral, over 900 people physically showed up. This is somebody that wasn't an author, a pastor, a musician. She didn't have a blog. She wasn't a radio personality. She was a mom. And not only did 900 people physically show up, over 1,300 people watched online. I didn't even know you stream funerals online. There were so many people who were impacted by our life, but I'll leave with this. There was an atheist that typed in on her Facebook and said, "I've never once prayed to Jesus, but if it looks anything like Lizzie," and he prayed for the first time, he said, "I'm in." And the point is that our race is set before us, and all we can do is one foot at a time, one step at a time. When we can't run, we jog. And when we can't jog, we skip. And when we can't skip, we surround ourselves with people that'll keep us going and cheer us on. And this is what it looks like to finish the race well.
To last long and finish strong. I'm just going to take this one call if we can. Janice is checking in from River Falls. Janice, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering what the Holy Spirit was going to say through me. And just originally I called because I've run marathons too in Twin Cities, was my first. And I also had a knee start to blow out on me, and I finished the race in 5:57:55. And then it turned over when you started talking about Lizzie. I had a second cousin who passed away a year ago, December, at the age of 29, mm-hmm. from congestive heart failure. And he wasn't an athlete. He was a musician here in the Twin Cities. And the funeral was in a little town in Minnesota called Princeburg. And there were hundreds of people who showed up for his funeral. And not just people from the music community or anything, but kids that went to Bible camp with him when they were in eighth grade and still remembered him. And they showed up just because he exuded the Lord so much. And that how many people came to Christ during his funeral that they gave the invitation, and he was always smiling. His name is Jordan.
Hmm. Wow, Janice, thank you. Thank you for sharing, and so sorry about your loss. But, you know, the Bible does talk about it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house where there's a party, because I feel like in those places of mourning, eternity is set again in our hearts, so we see what's so important. And keep Janice on, if you would, Matt. I want to ask Paul to just pray for her, if you would. Would you pray for Janice?
Yeah. God, I thank you for Janice's obedience to pick up a phone and call, to testify about a life that was celebrated, to testify and engage with the broader faith community that's listening. And I pray that your Spirit would complete today the tasks at hand for your fruit to grow fully in Janice's life and in her family and in those she interacts with. May you use her running. May you use her joy. And may you use her courage to enter into conversations and point people back to the beauty and the mystery of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Dear Janice, thank you for that call. God bless you, dear one. And we just have a moment here before I'm asking you to pray again here, Paul, but I'm just thinking about lasting long, finishing strong. We end the show with that every day. And I think just as we're talking, I'm thinking somebody's listening today, understanding that I thought of lasting long and finishing strong as being about numbers and accomplishment. And as he's listening to you, he's understanding it's really about faithfulness and fruitfulness. And wondering if you pray for all of us. Just Lizzie's story is just so, so moving. And Janice's cousin and my brother-in-law who's fighting for his life right now. I mean, we need to not be afraid of death. We need to just yearn for the abiding life and look for fruitfulness. But would you pray that God would just bring eternity in our minds and hearts in a clearer way so we can live for the right reason and run the right race?
Yeah. So here's my prayer as I try to hear what the Spirit is saying. And it's this, that many of you are listening and you're hoping to have a revelation of what type of significance and what type of impact that you can have that would inspire people towards the kingdom. And I believe God's Spirit is saying your impact and your destiny lies in your love, in your joy, in your peace, in your patience, in your kindness, in your goodness, in your faithfulness, in your gentleness, and in your self-control. And we agree together with all the saints that His Spirit would not only grow these things in you, but very specifically, I pray that you would do two things as you are listening. Choose one Spirit to exemplify today. I pray that God's Spirit would put it in you. Should you be loving or gentle or patient, just pick one. And then two, may you actively focus on stepping away from something that is keeping you from that fruit. And finally, we pray that God's Spirit would, along with all of the saints, we actively war against the voice of Satan that would whisper that you're not worth it, that you're going to always be the same old, but that today is new, and today is full of love, and today is going to be the best day that you've had. Amen.
Paul, thank you. It's been great to have you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end.